paraphrase Oscar Wilde, to lose one candidate is regarded as misfortune, but two, carelessness. Liberal Party lost two candidates in Victoria yesterday. One was disendorsed after Andy was making anti-Muslim diatribes. Another quit before he was pushed over homophobic comments about a current sitting Liberal MP. To discuss that and other issues, I'm joined by the Liberal campaign spokesman, Senator Simon Birmingham. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sabra.
On our lead story about Cambodia, Australia spent $55 million resettling three asylum seekers in Cambodia. One of them now says he was tricked by the government. Doesn't the whole policy look wasteful?
Sabra, my understanding is this was a voluntary resettlement arrangement. Now, ultimately, our policies have saved taxpayers because what they've done is they've stopped the flow of arrivals to Australia. They've stopped the boats, as we promised would occur back in 2013. We've stopped that flow.
The boats stopped well before this Cambodia deal.
And Sabra, the important thing here is that all elements of our policy are critical, and the Labor Party will unpick different elements if they are elected. We've seen that already in terms of what they did in relation to the so-called Medivac bill in the Parliament. But we also know that Labor's support for all elements of our border protection policy is not there at this election.
Well, they say that they stand by offshore processing and turning back the boats.
However, when it comes to certain arrangements around visa structures and so forth, the Labor Party appear to have different policy settings. Now, ultimately, Australians can see our track record has been one that has stopped arrivals, and that means we no longer have any children in detention. That is an accomplishment because there have been no arrivals and we've successfully resettled. And the way to ensure that you don't have children in detention in the future is to maintain all of our policy settings to make sure you don't have those arrivals again in the future.
On carbon modelling, you've just heard Dr. Brian Fisher say that the country's GDP will still grow under Labor's plan, just not as fast, and he says it's not disastrous. What's your response?
Well, Dr. Fisher has done the work that Bill Shorten refuses to do. Bill Shorten goes through this election campaign refusing to say who will pay the...
To the point of the question there, you've just heard Dr. Brian Fisher say that the GDP will still grow, but it's just, in his words, not disastrous.
So let's look at the potential impacts that Dr. Fisher has assessed as to how they relate to everyday Australians. His modelling shows that there could, under Labor's policy setting, be 200,000 fewer jobs in the future for Australians than under the Coalition's policy settings, that real wages could be around 8% lower under Labor's policy settings relative to the Liberal National Party's policy settings. Now, they are real impacts for Australians. Lower wages, fewer jobs, and this is the work that Bill Shorten himself should be doing. The only reason we're talking about Dr. Fisher's modelling is because Bill Shorten refuses to identify what the cost of his policy is or who will pay for his policy.
What about the Department Secretary of the Prime Minister and Cabinet, Martin Parkinson, recent warning that modelling like this was quite risky?
Well, what we need is answers from Mr. Shorten.
Misleading,
of course, modelling is based upon assumptions and policy assumptions. And what Dr. Fisher has done is he's looked at if Labor to rely upon 25% of international permits, or if they would rely upon 50% of international
Martin
permits.
Martin Parkinson said it can be misleading.
Well, that's because we don't get a straight answer from Mr. Shorten about actually what he expects the international permit take-up to be.
Actually, I don't think that that's what Dr. Parkinson meant. He meant that this kind of modelling is misleading full stop.
Well, this type of modelling relies upon the assumptions you put into it, Sabra. Now, Dr. Fisher has done a range of different scenarios, all of which show that the Labor Party's policy would have higher costs to our economy, mean fewer jobs and lower real wages increases for Australians in the future.
And it hasn't factored
in... And those different scenarios, of course, are structured because Mr. Shorten won't actually outline the detail of his own policy. If he put detail on his policy, then you could more accurately model exactly what his policy is. We can simply work off of the different scenarios of what his policy could be because he won't actually say how it will be applied.
To the candidates now, two Liberal candidates were dumped or jumped yesterday. Do they underline the criticism attributed to Kelly O'Dwyer that the Liberal Party in Victoria is perceived as homophobic, anti-women and climate change deniers?
I think there's a lesson for both the Labor and the Coalition parties out of yesterday. We saw and have seen candidates now disendorsed from both Labor and Liberal ranks. And the Labor Party has lost a couple of candidates in the course of this election for anti-Semitic issues. There's another candidate under some pressure in relation to making light of rape. Now, in the end, this is a reminder to all parties to make sure that the vetting of candidates, even those running in unwinnable positions, is thorough.
But how worried are you that in Victoria in particular, where your own colleagues admit it's more progressive and not tolerant of these kind of views, that it sort of further damages the Liberal brand?
Sabra, I just think there are lessons here that the Labor Party, the Liberal and National parties, all of us need to heed in terms of making sure that our vetting processes are thorough. We are the parties of government and people expect us to have thorough vetting processes. We do that for, of course, candidates, especially in all of the winnable seats. Clearly, some have slipped through the net on both sides of politics in relation to those unwinnable seats.
All right, the National Party leader admits this week that he's taking a whatever-it-takes attitude to trying to win government again in defending a preference deal with One Nation. Do you agree?
Well, look, I think all parties have obviously engaged in preference arrangements.
But the whatever-it-takes attitude?
Well, Sabra, parties, of course, are working to win this election. You would expect us all to work to win this election. I urge people to vote for the Liberal Party first and foremost, for the National Party where there's a National Party candidate running. And I urge them to do so not because of preferences or those debates, but to do so because of the policy differences between the parties. And there are stark policy differences at this election. They were on show last night as Mr. Shorten, in his interview with Lee Sayles, underplayed or downplayed the impact on pensioners and retirees of his tax on franking credits.
He changed
his position in relation to housing tax, where he had previously indicated that it would drive down prices of houses. Now he says that it wouldn't.
Senator, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We've got to move on.
Thank you
very much for joining AM this morning.
My pleasure.